Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women in Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women in Money on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, and the new Podcast One app.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the Scared Scriptless Store Tour, Brad Sherwood. Plus, Larry Miller returns for a round of the hypothetical road game. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, the eighth wonder of the world, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you. All right. My mind is... All right. I have trouble. All right. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
We're driving to Florida.
Yeah. Larry Miller in studio. Good to see you.
Is it wrong to laugh at yourself?
Absolutely
never.
No, you got to have a sense of humor about you. Simply Safe. I want to thank Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get 24/7 protection, just $15 a month. And LegalZoom. Go to LegalZoom.com and enter Adam for a little discount and some savings. We're doing some hypothetical road trip with Larry Miller. I'm glad that Larry's here because I had this note that I'd wrote down on one of my buck slips, and it's been traveling around with me for months, but I haven't spoken about it on the air because it makes me sound like Grandpa Carolla, but then I realize that great-grandpa Larry Miller's in studio. And I think there's two things about having some sort of understanding about the past or references or whatever it is. Part of it is your actual age, but then the other part is just a willingness to go there, to understand that, to pretend that we're now living in a society where I have to pretend like they're a 14-year-old girl. So if I brought up something from this time, you'd have to pretend like you never heard of it, because what would a 14-year-old girl do in reference to that? So... if I brought up Phil Rizzuto to a 14-year-old girl, she'd not know who it was.
Yeah.
But if you're talking to a 57-year-old guy, he should know who it is, but he'd like to be younger. He'd like to skew into a younger demo, so he'll go who, and then he'll make you insane for knowing who Phil Rizzuto is.
I, on the other hand, love Phil Rizzuto. Always did, and always will.
That's what I love.
Sorry, Pops, not old.
Yeah.
Not another reference.
Somehow filling Rizzuto should involve ricotta cheese.
That would be nice.
So, this little thing that had been traveling around with me for a long time. And
there's a place in New York that offers Phil Risotto.
Like there has to be. There has to be.
You can get the Phil Risotto.
The thing that's been traveling.
The Yogi Berries.
The thing that's been traveling around with me for a while is I see my kids and I just see how uninterested they are in the things that my son has Nerf footballs that are still in the box with the shrink wrap around them that have been sitting on the kitchen island counter for 9 months now, never to be open. Now, if that were us, that would be opened and used constantly. Foil was shaped into balls and used as wiffle balls when the wiffle ball would crack at the seam. I didn't hit a lot of dingers in Little League. I probably had about four home runs in Little League. I don't have any of the balls because even though they were retrieved at the game and the date was put on them, we then eventually had to put them in a service.
That's right.
Yeah. They had to be used.
Service, yeah.
And they're somewhere in some ivy bank, which would literally just swallow. You could drive an armada, like a Spanish armada, into an ivy wall, and it would just all disappear.
That's right. If someone ever asked us, did you save any of those balls, there would be a pause, and then the answer would be, the what? Save the what?
Yeah.
Save the balls? Are you crazy?
For what?
Right. Meanwhile, my son has the ball from the time he hit the dinger and T-ball. And when I say dinger, I mean middle of the tee.
And then four overthrows?
Which
four overthrows later?
Bent the tee back far enough to launch the ball in a forward motion to just hit a little bit of the front of the plate and then trickle toward the pitcher's mound. The catcher then threw it over the first baseman's head. The first baseman, I think the right fielder, retrieved it and threw it over the second baseman's head. You know where this is going.
Yeah.
He got a round tripper.
I need an over-the-fence ball if I'm going to count that as a home run.
Not just
ball.
A comedy of errors.
Over the far fence, not the fence behind you.
Yeah.
I
concur. But so just how much stuff used to, things used to mean to us. And look no further than the cigar industry. And I'll tell you why.
Finally, someone's blown the lid off the cigar industry.
The cigar industry, speaking of lid, had a cigar box. Mm-hmm. That cigar box is not something you disposed of.
Right.
That was in the Corolla house, that was a durable good.
It was a display piece.
That was considered. You could keep your drugs in there. You could keep your matchbox cars in there.
Firearms.
It was a container with a lid, albeit it was cardboard, but it had an Indian or something decorative on it. And that was something to be cherished. A box that held Dad's stogies.
That was high art.
High art and had a street value. And if anyone ever thought of throwing one away, you would have tackled the person on the way to the dumpster.
My mind floods now. There was an era where like kinds of boxes were universal terms of measurement. Like a cigar box, everyone knew what that meant.
A bread box.
A bread box, everyone knew what that meant. A hat box, everyone knew what that meant.
There was
boxes are no longer.
A little something called a lid. In the marijuana smokers out there will know that the pot was sold by the lid.
Right.
Also, that was the lid to something. Then you dig a little deeper in the cigar world, and you had the aluminum cigar tube with the cap that screwed back onto it. Unclear what it was good for, but once again, not to be disposed of.
Joints.
Exactly.
Anything.
Nothing can get thrown out. I was just starting to write about this, in fact, that we had when I was a kid, we saved every rubber band from every newspaper, from every product, whatever it was, and we put it in the rubber band drawer, which also had an address book that no one ever used because it was one of the little ones.
Right.
But it had everything, Aunt Arlene, you know, and it had her number in it.
Yeah.
But we never used a rubber band, never.
No.
And today, we in our house have also a rubber band drawer, and I keep taking them out, and my wife keeps saying, we don't use them. What are you saving them for? And I said, look at it. It's perfect. It's a perfect rubber band. It's not hurt.
Yes.
It's not cracked.
That's our move with soy sauce, which is
right.
I have a 2-liter bottle of Kikkoman in the fridge, or there's the half-ounce ones that'll get all over your chest if you attempt to open them with your mouth
that are
in the drawer.
Save those.
2 foot from the fridge.
Yeah.
And there's some scenario which will never play out. Like, well, what if there's a tsunami and we just ordered sushi and we only have enough time to grab the packet, the individual packets, and head for the mountains? Like, I don't know what scenario. There is no scenario.
I think that's it. That's the scenario.
The tsunami.
Yeah.
We just ordered a boatload of sushi, and the tsunami, ironically, is rolling through La Cañada, and we have to head for high ground. We can't carry the big glass thing from the fridge.
It'll weigh you down.
Insane.
Right.
Yeah, sushi isn't on-the-go food. Like, it's not picnic food. That's sit-down-and-enjoy-it food.
Look, all I know is every time it shows up, you get the mini packet, worst design packaging ever. You can only open it with your mouth, and it can only end up on your chest.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, there's also the fork, chopstick, paper towel. napkin, rubber band roll.
Wrap together. Yeah.
The thing that stays in the house is not the California roll, the rubber band roll.
Right.
That just sits in the drawer next to the other thing. These are all things we can't throw away, but we'll never use.
Literally 3 months ago in my spring cleaning, when I got started, set a drawer, set aside all the little rubber band packs and all the soy sauce packs. Just in case. God knows what
in case.
What for.
Just in case of never going to happen.
You never did. Did anyone have cats? Growing up, you did.
Yes.
You did. Yeah, that's right. The big thing in our neighborhood was all the kids, and it would always be at dinner time, would come to our door and bring the milk jug tab thing that you rip off so you can open the milk jug.
Mm-hmm.
Bring those to our house because those were our cat toys.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, milk jug is, we had the cardboard ones with the missing kids on it.
Yeah, no, the big plastic.
If my childhood wasn't depressing enough,
find yourself on
I got to look at some 9-year-old and go, lucky you. Last seen in New Mexico. God, that sounds glorious.
By the way,
I wish I was last seen somewhere other than this goddamn house.
Just before it goes away, I just want to mention about the whole sushi bit and the delivery. I love that the delivery guy still got to you anyway. The earth is exploding.
Yeah.
It's cracking down the middle.
Oh, nice tsunami scenario.
People from the Bible are coming out of the crack in the earth.
Right.
And he still gets there in 19 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Grubhub guy
He'll be
is,
the last one standing with 5 stars.
I hope you tip well.
Yeah. So I thought the box of the cigar, the tube that the cigar came in, and even the band that went around the cigar.
Oh, yeah.
That was an engagement ring for an 11-year-old. Like that was, these were all high dollar. These were all items that were not to be taken lightly or thrown away. They were to be protected and kept. And I just thought, what a time that was versus now when it's like, throw away the TV and get a bigger one.
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone.
And
all right.
What, 1,000 years ago, I wonder, what would they then have held on to? So anywhere in Europe, anywhere, rural France, Italy, anything, what do they hold on to? I think the answer is probably nothing. They had nothing.
Yeah. Maybe a really nice rock.
I think human hair. Oh, you got to make a merkin.
That's right.
Or maybe maybe become a judge.
By the way, did you notice that as soon as you said that, Brian and I just went blank?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you're talking
a human
about.
Hair.
Well, I could make quite a penny as a hair merchant when I see you two come rolling into town on a horseback.
Larry, get out of the way. Larry, you seem the kind of guy who would have enjoyed a nice cigar or two in your day. Where you?
I did. I haven't in a long time.
Is there a difference between people like a big deal about Cuban cigar. It's a Cuban cigar. Is there that much of a difference between a Cuban and a, I don't know, Dominican cigar? They can't be that different.
First of all, there is, but I'm not allowed to tell you.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because even though I don't smoke them anymore, they're always coming. By the way, there's a great difference. I don't know how these things are made, but there's a huge difference.
Well, we're looking at a picture of you and Seinfeld and
the Brooklyn Bridge,
a couple other guys.
The Brooklyn Bridge.
Paul Reiser. Yeah. Let me tell you what the cigar is. Cigar, here's why the cigar was invented. Because they don't even inhale.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who smoked a cigarette or smoked a joint knows the best part is the inhaling part.
That's the whole point.
The notion of smoking a cigarette or smoking a joint or smoking, out of a hookah pipe or anything, not inhaling feels sort of like you're less than halfway home. I've just stumbled upon this. I never really thought about this, but now I've figured it out. We should add it to my hypothetical road trip, which is golf was invented so guys could leave. You know, they don't want to hang out with their wives. This is, it's 5 hours of no wives, cute chick driving the Bud Light cart, and you talking smack about your wife. I'm convinced that golf.
I know where you're going.
The guys who play pickup basketball, it's not like they want to get away from their wives. They like breaking a sweat. They like movement. They like playing, shooting a hoop or whatever. That's not to get away from the wife.
Right.
Golf is to get away from the wife.
Right.
That's why when you see the guy who golfs with his wife, I never understand it. But cigars are a nighttime miniature version of let's get away from the lady. So you do this because you cannot smoke a cigar wherever you are. You're in there. Everyone's eating. Everyone's done with dessert. They're sitting around holding a drink. And then you announce, I'm going to go out to the veranda and smoke a cigar. Now, really what you're saying is I like to get away from these bitches and I like to talk some smack. So who's with me? And then four other guys go, I'll smoke a cigar. But they don't smoke cigars. No. They don't sit at their house or sit in their car. It's not like they're going to work with it. You never see a guy driving to work with a cigar hanging out of his mouth. They go to get away from the women. Yep. And that same guy could go, let's go golf. But it would never work. Yes, it's 9:30
yeah,
at
exactly.
night.
It's midnight. Right. Yeah. The first time was probably two guys who decided, like, you know, about to head home from the strip club. And they're like, God damn, you smell like 12 strippers.
Right.
Which makes sense because you were with 12 strippers tonight. It's like, right. Oh my God, what am I
going to
do?
Where's my Cohiba?
All I've got is this cigar. Quick, yeah. Light it up. I'll just puff it a few times.
And if the strippers smoke cigars too.
Well, yeah.
Then you can say, well, you smell like 12 cigars.
Yeah. Then you get home and you explain to your wife that cigar had glitter all over it and that's what happened.
That's right. And it took all my money.
I think it's a miniature version of golf.
That makes sense.
Just an excuse for dudes to get up to nighttime. Let's get away from the old lady. Let's go out here light up a cigar.
Cigars, I think, may be the only thing you can be smoking where right after a puff, you narrow your eyes and say, have everyone killed.
Right.
All right. We're going to do a little hypothetical road trip. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Ready for anything that gets thrown at it. Storm that takes out the power, tsunami that's going to destroy your sushi. Simply Safe is ready. If an intruder cuts the phone lines or destroys your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help you need. Could cost an arm and a leg, should cost an arm and a leg, but doesn't. They charge what's fair, $14.99, just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. We've all got it around here. Dawson has it, and Mark Gergis has it. Everybody has it. Drew, everybody has it, and you can check it out. Go to Simply Safe, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. SimplySafe.com/M for the best. Two eyes. Simply Safe. All right. Do we have some hypothetical road trip to play with Larry here?
Let me just correct you. You said we're going to do a little hypothetical road trip. No. You're going to do it. I'm going to win it.
Oh, you're going to dominate it.
Some big talk today.
Okay.
It's the hypothetical road trip game. The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida.
Couldn't be easier.
Yeah. And again, look, it's a coin toss at the end of the day. So you're bound to get some of these right.
It's whenever you feel, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no wrong answers is what we're talking about.
My record has been mixed on the show here.
Spotty. So, mm-hmm.
If you define mixed as losing every single one.
Which is bizarre.
But some today, get wrong, some get very wrong.
You're feeling good.
Do you see fear in my eyes?
No,
none. No. Confident.
No, just cataracts. All right. First one. White guy in Koofy or couple that goes to the gym together.
Oh.
Okay, so you'd be driving with two people in the one sense.
I guess so.
Okay,
well, you know what?
Let's
you know what? Oh. You're right. Mathematically, let's make it
the dude who goes in.
And I don't mean I'm going to the pool, you head for the soul cycle. I mean the couple that's
spotting
working
each other
out
and,
together.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, and that makes this a tough one to others.
Yeah. But, to others, right.
But there is nothing more annoying. Seeing a couple go into the health club, you really want to say you've both really got to die. I mean, no one wants to see you do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy from Koofy?
Yeah. Well, he's not from Koofy,
and
but he wears
it. Yeah.
He wears the Koofy.
It's the little, you know, the decorative skull cap.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? I would have to say I would rather drive with the couple, and I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But
we've narrowed it down to just the guy in the group.
The guy of the couple?
Yeah. Yes.
He likes to tell you all about it.
That makes it a lot easier than then I go with the guy with the Koofy. Because if I drive with the guy who's not even with his wife that he normally goes to the health club with, then I'm trapped in what I can say. All I have to say is start screaming, what are you, stupid? You didn't take your wife on this trip?
Right.
So you know what? He would be out of the car so fast and off a cliff. he'd have to go right back to the health club. So I'm going to instead go, I'm going to drive with the guy wearing the koofy, and I'm not afraid of him because I know I can talk him out of it. And when I drive away, I wouldn't be wearing it because that's frankly gross. But come on!
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Come on!
Not a great start.
I'll tell you the problem. The guy with koofy. Look, a few years ago, I would have had no problem with this logic guy with the koofy. But now that the whole cultural appropriation or adoption or whatever we're calling it, that's off the table these days. It's 2018. Number two, the guy with the koofy is going to get your ass kicked. And I'll tell you why. Because at some point, you're going to be going through Texas and you're going to pass a Roscoe Chicken and Waffles or a deep barbecue joint, all black. It's going to be like that scene from Animal House. And he's going to walk in and he's going to go, "Hey, my main man, Otis." And then he's going to go, "Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind." And then he's going to say, "Green is for the," and before he gets to "green is for the honey and gold is for the," he's going to have eight black guys just kicking the crap out of him, and you're going to be there too, and you'll be an accomplice.
Well, I'd be at that point, I'd be up the bar saying, "You know what? And make one to go."
Yeah, but again, it'll be too late. That's all right. That's all right. Oh, it's
shake it off.
You're not in a ditch. This is a puddle. You're fine. Yeah. You're 0-1.
You're champion.
Well, Ginny says, you know, shake it off then.
Yeah, the year
you'll be
fine. The year the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they started off 0-2.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that Super Bowl was a great game.
It was.
And I won money on that if I had bet, but I didn't.
Okay.
All right. You ready to move forward?
Ready? Do you suddenly see fear in my eyes now?
No, I do not see fear.
Let's go. Let's go and watch what happens.
All right. This is keeping on subject. Guy who puts ketchup on pastrami sandwich.
Oh, dear.
Vile.
I can't imagine a better option.
Or guy who finds it to be disrespectful to put soy sauce on sushi, as if you're disrespecting.
No.
You're disrespecting the sushi chef.
The purity.
The purity.
That's right.
This, the purity of it.
This is actually a tough one. First of all, anyone who puts ketchup on pastrami needs to have it taken away.
Yeah.
Because that's a stupid thing to do. There was once, in fact, with Reiser from the cigar picture there, I was in Cantor's, and there was a guy sitting at the table across from us, and he had to be 500 pounds if he was an ounce, and couldn't barely, the two sides of the stomach were over the table and under the table because he couldn't get in.
My God.
And he ordered a pastrami sandwich on a roll and salted it.
Oh, wow.
Is that what you need?
Well, and it's not only disgusting, but you want to say, you just kill yourself.
Hypertension.
Because,
yeah.
But that is better than, what was the second one again?
I know, I tried to tell you, forgot about it.
Considers it an affront.
Whenever Larry does the butt.
It's an affront to put soy sauce on your sushi.
Yeah,
he'll school you about it.
That's powerfully stupid. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You can't, anyone who holds up someone else's flag or culture, and when you hear like a gong ring and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, just because he thinks he's with it.
Yeah.
I would sooner drive with the guy with the ketchup on the pastrami, because as dumb as he is, at least it's pastrami. It's close to something.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Come on! No,
I'm sorry. That's
wrong. I was worried about that when you said that.
Well,
come on!
I have no time for either one of these individuals. The pastrami, the ketchup on the pastrami is a goddamn attack.
Yeah,
that's an attack. The no sushi, that's snobbery.
Yeah, that's your
but
thing.
The no kikkoman on the thing, that's snobbery, but it's not a physical attack.
Right.
This is physical.
This
literally.
Is
this is literally it's an attack. It's literally.
An
it's
assault.
Literally
an assault.
Yeah. But speaking of salt and sodium, this guy's 500 pounds, remember. I know it's not the same guy, but any guy who's putting ketchup on a pastrami sandwich is a heifer. Your mileage may vary. The guy who's eating the sushi and not using the soy sauce, he's a waif model. Rail thin. By the time you get to Orlando, you would have saved hundreds of dollars in fuel. And you run on 91 octane. Larry, I know you're a performance-oriented guy, so I'm sorry. You know, anyway, 0-2. Okay. We'll keep playing.
Rough start, it's okay.
Go it up.
We're not 0-2.
And again, I wish I made the rules. You know, I wish I could go, you're right. But you know,
it doesn't work that way.
It just doesn't work that way. And I don't think you'd want it to work that way. I don't think you want our charity.
Ask me
our
after
hand
the
up.
Game, Adam.
I know you have a lot of pride, is what I'm saying.
I am pride.
It's gay pride, but it's pride.
Big rally.
All right, here we go. Let's rally back. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Adult male.
So far, so good.
Okay. Who wears black and white checkered slip-on Vans. Oh. Now, this guy's well into his 40s.
I got you. Yeah, that's yeah.
He's wearing Spicoli's weapon of choice.
A very bad start.
Or leather pants guy.
Very difficult. Mm. They both... I'm going to go... No, it's clear for me, actually. The leather pants guy is too disgusting to even sit at a table with, mm-hmm. or be in a car with, or be on the earth with, because he has all his legs and all his, well, private parts mm-hmm. in the leather, that's which true. Is too hot
doesn't
and
breathe.
Too sweaty. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? Yeah, no, that's too disgusting. I'm going to go with the first guy, even though technically, if you want to, you know, use those kinds of categories. Mm-hmm. Technically, I don't remember the first guy.
The guy in the Vans.
He's wearing these shoes.
The checkered shoes.
Yeah,
checkered Vans.
And he's an adult.
Yeah.
You know what? Past his.
That's really horrible, but not as disgusting and as hot and fetid and just and horrifying for a human being to wear leather pants and anything. Mm. Hookers would say to that guy, "We're closed."
Right. I get you. Sorry.
What? Yeah. What?
Wow. I have to hand it to you. Even I thought you were going to be right on that one.
Come on.
It sounded right.
Come on.
Well, it wasn't, but it sounded right.
Oh, wow. That was tough.
Well, first things first.
That'd be
leather pants guy. The upside of leather pants guy is you don't know where his thigh ends and the seat begins. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of interesting. You know what I mean? You can't say that about guys who wear cargo shorts. I know right where that line is if you're wearing khaki cargo shorts. Mm-hmm. But if you're wearing black leather pants and black leather interior, where do you end? Where's the seat begin? You know what I mean? So that's a source of amusement. Yeah.
Leather pants guy's not going to be asking to stop for a lot of bathroom breaks. It's a pain in the butt to get those things off and open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, here's the problem with the Vans guy. The guy's wearing slip-ons. This is a ride to Epcot Center in Orlando. Those shoes are going to be kicked off before you back it out of your driveway. So, A, he's got the shoes kicked off. Secondly, he's the guy who, as you're driving through Texas, says, "Mind if I spark up?" But as he's saying, "Mind if I spark up?" you're smelling pot. Yeah. There is a cloud of marijuana smoke. As he's asking, he's lighting a joint saying, "Mind if I spark up?" Then you get pulled over. You open the window. Thing smells like Bob Marley's head. You're driving through the panhandle at this point. They don't mess around over there. And you're doing some real time, Larry. So I'm looking out for you on this one.
You know what?
Sorry.
Which is more disgusting? You make a good point, Adam. Adam, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
You make a good point that what's more disgusting, the feet that have been in the checked Vans or the genitals in the leather pants. I still have to go with the genitals in the leather pants.
Right, but what we're doing now is we're going over the game film of a game we already lost, Larry.
Appeal,
so we can look at the game film.
Is that two losses in one?
We can't change the score of the game, but we can look at the game film, and that's what we're doing now. But this isn't a film session. We're moving on to the next.
Strong second half.
Yeah. One more.
Pull it out.
Let's see if we can get to 25%
here. Fourth quarter
effort here. All right. The guy, one of these guys is a close cousin of the guy who goes to the gym with his old lady. Okay. Guy whose best friend is his mom?
Ooh.
Or guy whose best friend is his wife? Mm. Last one. Last chance to get on the board.
You know what? You're really getting going here because on this game, those are both so foul that it's kind of close. I cannot accept best friends with the wife. I think that's too difficult to live. I love my wife, and she loves me, or so she says.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't think that's a best friend relationship, no matter what people say.
Mm-hmm.
And if your mom stays with you, and she's still alive, and she's backing you 100%, and you can back her, and if you get sick, you take care of her, I'm going to go drive with my mom on that instead of and make her my best friend for that ride. Mm-hmm. Come on! It's a mother!
I'm sorry.
It's a mother in America!
You're 100% wrong.
That was so clearly
on
wrong.
Which one did he pick?
That's weird. Mom. I have to check the tape. Yeah. Oh, they're saying best mom in the booth. Saying what, he chose the guy with his mom.
Oh, yeah. That's 1,000% wrong.
Yeah. That wasn't 1,000%. Even close.
Yes. Come on!
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because the guy with the wife, he leaves her back at the pier in Santa Monica. That's where the voyage begins, right?
Well, yeah.
The guy with the wife, the guy with the mom, I guarantee you that mom lives somewhere between that pier and Orlando. Yeah. There's no doubt that they live somewhere there.
And you got to stop at mom's house.
You
gotta carve out
did
that
you
time.
See the movie Sideways?
No.
Okay, perfect. They're going to have to stop. In that movie, there was a depiction. Brian, you know what I'm talking about.
I know well.
They couldn't make it to wine country. They couldn't make it to
Santa Barbara.
Buellton without having to stop by the mom's house. They couldn't make the Solvang. I guarantee that mama lives somewhere between the pier and the Epcot Center, but out of the way. Mm-hmm. Several hundred miles out of the way, but that guy's not going to stop until you veer off and head somewhere deep into, one of the Carolinas or Dakotas. You're going. And then once you get there, it's not a hit and run situation. No. She's put some lasagna. She's put up a pot of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
you're not going anywhere, Larry.
24 hours would be an insult.
Yeah, I'm looking for you. I'm looking out for you. Anyway, what's that? 0-4?
You all think you're so smart.
Sorry. Larry, the rules are the rules.
Better luck next time you play the hypothetical road trip game.
Poor Larry.
And look, Gary. Hey, Brian, play the one that says congratulations, Larry. It was a big win.
Oh, yeah. No, the one that has a lot of dust on it. It hasn't been played in quite some time. But
Is that not in the computer?
I'll have to dig it up. You have to look for it.
It's on a hard drive.
I'm not even sure. It might be like on the cloud somewhere.
But it's there.
I'm sure it exists somewhere. I'm sure they built it.
Don't just have the one that says, sorry, better luck next time.
No.
That would be insane. How would you know?
You'd have to do both.
We want him to win. We root for him. We cheer for him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, rules are rules.
You think Dawson built one that just says, sorry, Larry? No.
That would just be mean.
That'd be derelict in his job.
How I hate you all.
All right. Let me tell you about LegalZoom over here. Attorneys are expensive. It's funny. I was doing this with Mark Garagus, and it says, $300 an hour, but... I think Garagus may run a little more than
that. Is someone have a Groupon?
Remind me to tell you where he's off to, by the way. I got a little inside Kaepernick.
Oh.
Dope. $300 an hour. Nah, that's one reason. Smart business owners turn to LegalZoom. 2 million plus Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses with LLCs and corporations and more. But LegalZoom helps you after your business is set up as well. Lease agreements, NDAs, need those. Tax laws, contract reviews. LegalZoom created their business legal plan. Legal advice for your business, and they vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in every state. You won't get charged by the hour. None of those billable hours. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Just one low price up front. Dawson.
Check out LegalZoom's legal business plan at LegalZoom.com and get special savings when you enter Adam at checkout. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com.
I was talking to Garagus yesterday, who was in a car with Colin Kaepernick. Wow. Heading to board a private jet, and I said, with Cap, what's where are you?
Were they headed for the Pacific Northwest?
And no.
Okay.
He's heading for Dallas, Texas to depose a very high-powered individual. The thing that makes a lawyer great is they have to love everything that makes you wildly uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like all the stuff you would think of, like, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. I'm going to have to sit down in front of this board. We're going to be in a room with this guy for 7 hours. I'm going to ask him every detail of anything had to do with sex or had to do with like embarrassing. And I'm going to have to like pummel him. And, I think everyone's default mode is to kind of nod at people, go, yeah, right back at you. Hey, enjoy yourself. And like leave. You have to thrive on all those things that makes every American cringe.
That's right.
And that's crazy because socially, like when he comes in here, he's the nicest guy in the world. He doesn't put us in a position to, he doesn't thrive on making you uncomfortable in regular life, but his job, that's what he has to do.
Like Cousin Sal loves to make people uncomfortable in their regular lives.
For a living.
Yeah.
Right. But we're all wired like, the neighbor's throwing a party, the stereo's too loud, it's after midnight, and maybe the wife says, the kids can't sleep, go over there and tell them to turn the stereo down. They're like,
please don't.
It'll stop, but we're fine, that's what cotton's for, you know, but those depositions, man, those are the most uncomfortable moments of your life. And I think Gergis gets a boner for those things. I told him I was going to hook him up to a Tumescence monitor, and we're going to find out just how much wood he got.
Yeah.
Sit in front of some of the richest, most powerful guys in the world and just
making him squirm.
The defendant's like, I thought I was the only one hooked up to a lie detector. Gergis, you are.
And the whole thing about super rich, super powerful guys, there's no version of a deposition that they've experienced in 40 years, easily 40 years. They've never had anyone put the screws to them or get accusatory with them or ask them why. It's just, yes, boss. Yes, oh, got you right. You know, like there's they put together decades of that. And they don't have a gear for getting dressed down or having their hash settled.
Haven't explained anything
to anybody.
Yeah,
right. They literally... When you're those guys, you get to say to the architect who's doing your pool cabana, you get to say, hey, I said I wanted a sliding door here, not a bay window. And he can hold a clipboard up and say, I have your signature next to the sliding door. And you can walk out of the room, just, you know, you're fired or fix it or whatever. Like you don't have to cop to the stuff that you've actually done earlier that day.
You're not being shown.
You are making this sound kind of enticing.
It is. Now I'm into it. All right. So we don't know who he's deposing, but he's heading toward Texas. I'll tell you that much. Got Colin Kaepernick in the car with him.
I always wonder.
You can listen to Reasonable Doubt, by the way, on Saturday and check that out. Yeah.
I always wondered whether Mark Garagos, and I haven't met him, and I am always a guest, he would be so charming in real life, and that you know, come to the studio here, and that you'd really think, wow, he's so nice, and he's wonderful to be around. But I always also wondered, did he ever have to represent, well, one of the big Mexican drug dealers or one of these people who just, you not just say the wrong thing, if you move your thumb the wrong way,
they come after you,
castrate you, you know, like that.
He says he does mid-level Mexican drug lords. Yeah. He doesn't go.
He doesn't go for
the kingpins. He goes for the spares. All right. One thing I noticed, because I like to think about myself, and I hate I wrote in 50 Years Will All Be Chicks, 8 years ago, because I knew where we're at was coming, and I have this problem, which is I have these notions about where we're heading as a society and what's going on. So I think to myself, a million years ago in 1994, I said, hey, home improvement and comedy. That's how I made my bones. I literally got into comedy doing a home improvement character. I had a basic cable show in like 1992. I was like, home improvement show that had some fun in it. You know, the guy who hosted it wasn't Norm or Bob Vila, you know, like not a stiff.
Right, fun guy.
But a fun guy, like some personality and a home improvement show. And I would pitch these shows. And then people are like, no, there's no home. There's this old house. Nobody wants home improvement shows. Nobody's doing home improvement shows. There's no home improvement
shows.
That's obscene.
So I would say that.
Okay. I realize I was a little ahead of my time, and now there's 700 home improvement shows, and it's the quirky couple. Yeah. There's whole channels. A million years ago, when we were doing the Man Show, Jimmy, we'd sit around and go, there should be cable stations or like guy stations, like, you know, Spike TV didn't exist. Nothing existed. And we just sit around like, come on, a station for guys, you know? When I was doing Loveline on MTV in the later 90s, I kept we're having a lot of success. It felt right. It didn't feel like uptight and scripted and formatted and everything. And I kept saying, real TV. I said, Drew, the future is like real TV, not scripted and four-camera sitcoms, but like real TV. There wasn't,
oh, you.
There wasn't reality TV, wasn't everywhere all the time. And I kept saying all these things. And now, by the way, I've never made a goddamn nickel off of any of these ideas. I've just been punished for sort of having these notions.
Just a skosh too early.
Ahead of time. And I was sitting around, and it was, of course, it was all the news that Roseanne, 20 million viewers, Roseanne, what a blockbuster. And then everyone, of course, going, well, that's just what's going on. That's the climate now. Perfect timing. I mean, you got a half the country voted for Trump, the other for Hillary. But what about the half that voted for Trump? Where's their TV show? And oh, Roseanne comes in and blah, blah, blah. I started thinking about when I did my... I did my Mr. Burcham pilot was from the animated Fox show. It was 2011. I said, there's got to be what's going on in the climate. I said, there needs to be like an Archie Bunker, like a reborn Archie Bunker. That's essentially what Roseanne is. But I was like, but what's going on politically right now? We need, again, politically, but this is 7 years ago. But I was saying, there needs to be like a latter-day Archie Bunker, somebody representing that group. You know, it can't all just be, oh, it's a gay couple that's arguing with their upstairs gay neighbors and their transgender cat. Mm-hmm. It had to be, we need this. We need this guy over here. And I thought, Jesus Christ. So I went on the internet and I just went and looked at the first 35 seconds of that. Fox animatic, as they call it, and I'll show it to you and Larry. I haven't seen it well, but I thought you can. Well, I'll stop it as we go. But like the first thing was, well, it just lights up on. Go
you
ahead. Sorry, I can start too. There we go. Then. All right. So the first joke on Lights Up is that he teaches remedial wood at George Washington Junior High, but they added Carver onto the end.
Crudely attached a sign.
Crudely attached.
Turned it into smacked George Washington, yeah. Carver.
Right. And then the junior high is a home of the Braves, but they got rid of the Braves.
Again, crudely slapped a Vikings.
And they made them the Vikings. This is all perfect for the zeitgeist of like what's going on. But I guess they needed more Bob's Burgers. So that was Lights Up on this. Then we widen out to see the school bus pull out, and the welcome kids, students, is written in English and Spanish, of course, in the front. Another thing that's it's going on out there, little controversies.
This will be my last year of this crap.
Bertram, you've been saying that for 5 years.
On the construction site with my crew, I was king.
Eating off a roach coach and crapping in a plastic phone booth.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bertram!
Teacher. I mean, kids.
Guys like us are going the way of the crocodile.
Huh?
For 10 million years, nobody messed with crocodiles. They climbed up on the riverbank to sun themselves. The whole village scattered. And then one day, out of nowhere, guys in khaki shorts start jumping on their backs. They must have been like, what the fuck is going on?
No one's afraid of us anymore, Don. Remember when we were growing up? Other kids' dads could hit you. Simpler times.
Look out the window longingly.
Yeah. So I just thought about it, and I thought, oh, yeah. I was thinking about Roseanne or this thing or whatever way the wind was blowing in 2011. Now, the problem with coming up with your stupid ideas before Roseanne is it's before Roseanne.
Right. Yeah.
So whoever the executives are going, no, we're going with season three of Bob's Burgers instead.
Yeah.
But as I was looking at the school and the name changing, the changing of the names and the tearing down of the statues and the all that, I'd say, yeah, it was kind of Roseanne-esque before.
Your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Before it had a pulse.
There you go. It's awesome. It's a way I don't make money, everybody. All right. Larry Miller, The Larry Miller Show, available on Apple Podcasts and Larry's website as well. And the website, LarryMillerPodcast.com. Larry, what's going on in the theatrical world for you, working on anything?
I've got two good movies coming out. I did them both in the fall in the New York, Massachusetts area.
Mm-hmm.
One is called, for goodness. I should know
Second
this.
Act.
Second that, Act, yeah. Right. With Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. And Leah Remini.
Yes.
And Vanessa Hutchins. Sorry.
Right.
And, off the top of my head.
And me.
And right. The great Larry Miller.
And yeah. I think that's going to be a good movie. And also the one that was done just before that in Western Massachusetts called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot.
Really?
And that's, yeah, that's, I told the director.
Is that based on a true story?
I told him, Bob Kraskowski, that he wrote it as well as directed it. And I said, that should be, the title of this movie should be the answer you give in every interview when it comes out. Because everyone's going to say, what's it about? And you can just say, have you seen the title?
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Sam Elliott's in this. Ron Livingston's
damn.
In
right.
it as well.
That's me, yeah. I play Sam's brother, and I think that could be a terrific movie.
So a couple of offerings from Larry Miller coming out end of the year. Look forward to that. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Tech Advantage have made engines smaller and more powerful. And why wouldn't you want to protect your engine with Castrol Edge? They've collaborated with Electronics Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. You can find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. They actually have the guys drive the real car and then drive in the simulator as well. See for yourself at Castrol USA YouTube page. So go to the Castrol USA YouTube page and see a really interesting video. Us, Santa Ana Esports Arena, that is coming up next Saturday, April 21st. We're doing a live podcast. We don't do too many live podcasts these days, so come on out if you're in the area. Cleveland, Agora Theater, May 17th. That'll be me, one-man show. And then Royal Oak Theater, May 18th, one-man show. And then Portland, we'll be taping my first live comedy special. Second show still has some tickets to it. And then us at the Moore Theater, the historic and beautiful Moore Theater, September 13th, doing a live pod there. And then we got the cruise. And also Hooters is doing in Costa Mesa. Lynette's going to be out there this Thursday. This Thursday?
April 19th.
Yeah, I guess it is this Thursday. That's right. April 19th. Check that out. Say hi to Lynette. Doing a bikini contest out there. And Glendale, Chevy Chase Country Club. That's May 3rd. Go to Endless Rant and enjoy some Endless Rant at the Total Wine. And let's see.
Go to Corolla Drinks. As
well. Yeah, go to Corolla Drinks. Find out all the events and where you can get it and all that kind of stuff. Okay, good. Brad Sherwood is going to be in here. God, he hasn't been here in 6 years or right up on 6 years. Larry, always good to see you. Sorry about the hypothetical road trip. Nobody could have seen that coming. we'll take a break. We'll do some good sports, and then it's Brad Sherwood right after this.
This week on the Koi Pond.
Yeah, Buddhist monks were like out on the edge.
Out on
They the were living edge. So fast.
Dude, they were counting stars. Do you know how boring your life has to be?
1,000. 2,000. 3,000. When you breathe air, is it really there? I don't know. Life, like a bull, may cause fire in the heart. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Shit, let me start over. 1.
Wake up.
Oh, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational Hold My Beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sports. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights,
riffing on Bat Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. It's time to close out another sports week here on Podcast One Sports on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. First, a reminder, go and subscribe to the Dave Damashek football program on iTunes. Like, you have anything better to do. It's a nice thing. You listen to it. We talk about football. We talk about life. Like, you got something better with your time in traffic. All right. Well, besides the Adam Carolla show, of course. All right. Ace, where we left off, we were doing the Bernard Pivot questionnaire that James Lipton always did or does. Does that show still exist on Bravo, Inside the Actor's Studio?
No.
I haven't come across it.
What happened, he's in good health and good spirits and sharp as a tack, but he ran out of Just for Men.
Ah.
The beard coloring.
Yeah.
And that's it. He can no longer perform. He cannot be
seen.
No
tougher stretch for a gentleman of his advanced age.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we were, to bring you up to speed, what's your favorite word, persimmon? Least favorite word, Carolla went with carbuncle. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally? Being alone with an endless ran IPA.
Mm-hmm.
What turns you off? People who don't do an easy thing to do that makes them a better person. Or they do something that is inconsiderate, even though it would be so easy to do the easy, considerate thing.
It's so, yes, the no-brainer things that would help humanity a lot, but it's 2% movement for you, and that's 2% too much.
Not close. Yeah, you can open the microwave door, you can punch the buttons, you can put your food into it, you can take the hot food out, but you can't bother to close the microwave door for whoever comes after you.
Yes.
Jerk.
Mm-hmm.
What sound, a favorite curse word, the one that offends two groups of people, what sound or noise do you love? The sound you hate was the chalkboard. What did you love again?
I love the sound of Canadian bacon hitting the griddle.
I don't forget that, yeah. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? You've attempted several careers.
I think I would be a good lawyer minus any of the training, testing.
Do you have a precedent, attorney, counselor? Can you offer? Nah. But I mean, come on. Usually common sense tells you that that's true.
Yeah, I've sat here and Mark Garagus has sat where you've sat, and he always tells me, oh no, your arguments are the best arguments. You can never make them. So,
careful, counselor. You're on a very short leash.
Yeah, I would.
Let's hold on. Let's see where he's going here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the great things judges say, right?
Happens all the time in real courts.
I'm sure. I would like to be the guy who sits next to the lawyer and just kind of tells him what to say. As a matter of fact, I would like him to wear Tom Brady's football helmet, and then I would talk into a microphone in another room, and he'd have to just parrot what I say, but in Tom Brady's football helmet, and that would be my goal. That would be a dream job.
You know, I don't want to overthink it. I don't think you could do much better than being a platoon ball player. Now, yeah, mm-hmm. I was always 162, way too many games. I don't want to have to play 162 of anything in a calendar year. But I think that if you get to sit on the bench or sit out in the bullpen, perhaps even better, away from the coaches, and you just get the, you know, kibitz with the fans, like it'd be a thrill. It'd be fun to like do a thing at the start of baseball season if you're in the bullpen and see, like, let's see how many beers we can have people buy for us over the course of the year, and wieners and nachos. I bet you could get a lot of that sort of thing. And you just get to sit around, give people hot foots, blow bubble gum bubbles, and then take it out of your mouth and put it on top of your skipper's hat. That kind of stuff. That's where it's at. But, and you're making probably 1.5 to do it.
That's good. I brought this up on my show last week, and I admit I don't know if this job exists, but, you know, they have secret shoppers. If they have a job, I don't know if this exists, but secret napper.
Oh.
I feel like that'd be awesome. I'd be great at it.
I'm busy. I got that. Can you take a nap for me? All right, boss.
I'll just nap. Yeah, nap for you.
Who do you think out of your crew here might be best suited to be your
my secret napper?
Yeah.
Oh, Gary, not a nap.
It's Kalen.
I was going to say Kalen. Yeah.
That kid has an uncanny ability to fall asleep at work.
I resent those people.
Me too.
It's not even a question.
I don't like how people, when they decide, like, ooh, I'm tired. You know what? I need to get 20 minutes of
I'm told he just took a 20-minute nap.
What? How does that? I've never fallen asleep for 2 minutes on an airplane. Cross-country flights.
I know.
Middle of the night.
I miss it.
It makes me crazy.
I get angry.
I turn my light on. That's the worst of all, is the from the people around you. I'm wide awake. What, I have to sit in black because you do? Because you're trying to nap? I'm a human being. I paid for my flight.
Check.
Yes.
Couple things.
No, I'm James Lipton again.
When you find out a guy has fallen asleep while driving, do you think he's a little bit dumb? Because that, to me...
I guess so. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah.
That's like saying...
I don't know that I've met somebody who's fallen asleep driving.
I've met many people. It's a very common thing.
Really?
Yes, it's common. It happens a lot.
Really?
Well, it's very weird to you and
I. I know it happens to old people, and that's the sign.
Tom Johnson, the guy I work construction for out of Chatsworth, California, was telling me, I don't know, he was like 26. He just fell. And it's funny because everyone justifies it by going, I worked all day. Yeah, I get it. You didn't just step out of a cold shower and you fell asleep. Like, I get you did something before this.
Oh, you were tired. Oh, that's what made you. Oh, I got you.
I thought you just got done playing the Glockenspiel in a marching band and then dozed off. I didn't know you'd been working a double shift. Like, they always do that thing where it's like, I was working a double shift. Okay, we get it. And then I had to go. My girlfriend was in Arcadia, and I'm all the way out in Carlsbad, and she wanted me to come. And like, I get it. There was something that involved you driving at night while you were sleepy, but it still doesn't mean you can go to bed while you're driving a missile.
But if you know people who did this, what percentage of those people survive the nap that they're doing when they're going 60 miles an hour?
They tend to get pretty jacked up, but I think in a weird way, it's like, how the sober person gets killed and the drunk person always survives.
You're loose.
Yeah.
You're not bracing.
What can
for
be
it.
Looser than unconscious?
I didn't know it was such an epidemic.
Gary, you got to find out how often this happens a year. And maybe now there's warnings in cars and stuff like that. But I don't know. You put the heated seat with the massager in it and in the upscale, you know, flagship cars, you're asking for trouble.
I mean, I guess you must be, by definition, dumb that you don't figure out, hey, I'm falling asleep in the car, and start pinching yourself or whatever, or sticking a nail or something sharp into your thigh to keep yourself awake.
People just don't, some people just don't have that connection with themselves, which is weird. When I go into my bedroom almost every night, my wife's asleep on her back, holding the remote, like, in the air. It's funny. But it's like, I could never, I can't, I have to put the remote down, I got to shut the thing off, I got to turn over.
She wants those
like,
eyes popped open to watch as much NFL or NHL Network as she possibly
that's
can.
That's right.
And she just goes off into
we
sleep.
We got the season. season pass. Yeah.
Real quick, let's
Gary
go through
Scott,
these.
Hold on.
I've got some conflicting stats here. There's one website, drowsydriving.org, that says that, and I find this hard to believe, more than one-third of people, 37% or 103 million, have fallen asleep at the wheel. And then this other website, which is run by the Center for Disease Control, says that an estimated 1 in 25 adult drivers aged 18 years or older report having fallen asleep while driving in the previous 30-day period.
It happens a lot, this which is weird.
Ironically, eye-opening for me. I can't believe that it happens more than 20 times to America overall a year.
I wouldn't have, like, for you and I, who can take a red-eye flight on a six-hour flight from New York to LAX and be strung out and have a couple of highballs and still not sleep a wink, it doesn't make any sense at all to us. But to others, they can.
I also hate when people book you to do stuff like fresh in like 10 a.m. So you can get you'll sleep on the plane, I assume, when you get off the red eye. Right. Then we can do this interview when you get here. Like, I'm going to go to sleep. What do you mean? Right. I'm going to be awake all night for you. Anyway, all right. Listen, we have a couple more questions on the PIVO questionnaire. We'll do those next week, though, because I suspect that both of these have a chance to be juicy from Adam Carolla. So, like I say, we'll cut it off there. Enjoy the sports weekend, sports fans. We'll be back with more hot sports talk on Good Sports. Podcast One Sports for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek. Out.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.